All right. So the rules of engagement are this. I'm going to ask the seniors a question, and then the seniors can be free to answer that question voluntarily. I'm not forcing you to answer it. And then I'll ask a question of the young people that the seniors have for you. And again, you will hopefully volunteer to answer that question. So that's how we'll go on from here. I had two icebreaker questions, if you will. This one's aimed at the seniors. What's one thing that you wish young people knew about being a senior? One thing. Name one thing that you wish young people knew about being a senior.
Be kind.
Be kind to them. Okay. Ms. Ma says be kind to them.
I think sometimes seniors are lonely and they don't always want to admit it. And they're really happy when a young person comes up to them and with a cheerful smile and says, good morning. That's important to us.
A simple good morning goes a long way to relieve loneliness. Loneliness is another. Mr. Camp.
I would just like to pass on being a senior. Doesn't have to be a burden. It's even a pleasant time, especially this afternoon, to sit here and see all these young people and willing to learn and listen to the lessons. I hope the Lord will bless it to your hearts.
Thank you. Anything else? Mrs. Camp.
Pauline's answer made me think of another one, like
sure.
To reach out to an older person, especially, for instance, if you see a person having a hard time by church or wherever you are, getting in and out of their car, just give them a lift, and I think that would be so wonderful.
Mm.
I remember one. He was a homeless person. He came to our church just a couple times. And later on, he said to us that somebody helped him with his coat. And he just thought that was just a wonderful thing. We think that's just simple, but
right.
It means a lot.
That's what kept him coming back, too, right?
Yes.
Anything else? Otherwise, we'll turn the question to the young people. Someone here? Mr. Fossey.
Well, if I understand the question correctly, I'm not hearing you well, but I only have one thought on my mind, and the only advice that I would have for young people is to keep their heart with all diligence, because out of it, out of your heart, are the issues of life. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll turn it over to the young people. Oh, one more.
I would just say be thankful if you have especially God-fearing parents that care for you. And I thank the Lord that I had a God-fearing mother.
All right, young people, what's one thing that you wish seniors knew about? I think they have young legs. They can stand up. That way their voice is right here as well, a better chance of hearing. So what do you wish that seniors knew about being a young person? Because your world with technology and everything is very different than the world they grew up in. We need a first volunteer.
I think we really appreciate your wisdom and just being with you all. It's just a wonderful thing to sit and listen to the wisdom that God has imparted to you in your lives. And it's just, I think, to say for myself, to just sit with the people that have lived a long life, and especially Christians, is just a wonderful thing. Thank you for being here.
Anyone else? Maybe I could phrase the question in a different way. Is there something you think that seniors misunderstand about young people? If so, what might that be? Tim, you're young.
It's not that we know everything of how your technology works. It's just we can learn it faster. We don't know how your I don't know how your iPhone works, but I can learn how to fix it by just picking it up. It's not the knowledge, it's the speed of learning, I guess.
I think on a spiritual level, I think sometimes young people can be misunderstood by seniors. Seniors look at young people and say, well, how can this generation know the Lord? And there's often not communication going back and forth. And so there can be assumptions made about young people or vice versa. So I think that's one thing that also as a young pastor, to speak with older people about spiritual things is very helpful. So don't just make assumptions about young people, but ask them questions, and you'd be surprised at how willing they would be to speak about things of the Lord. Sure.
Often, very often, young people like to think they know all. We are so misguided on that aspect. And I think that many young people actually like to hear advices. That's why they ask each other questions all the time. But if a fool asks another fool for an advice, he can only get so far. Therefore, you have such a key position, because you have already made the mistakes that we are doing right now. And you have, hopefully, and I believe most of you have learned with it. So I do encourage you to give young people advice. You may be met with some resistance because we are a bucket of pride. We have a bucket load of pride. But if you continue and if you can actually put up with the initial pride and the initial resistance that you're going to find on some young people, that young person will be thankful to you. And he will remember what you have taught him until the day he dies. So please give advice to young people. And I suggest try to find a way that it will not sound that you're not going to put him on guard. The tone of the voice, perhaps the selection of words. I'm not saying change your content. I'm saying try to find a good methodology, a good selection of words with the same content of what you want to say. If you can get through to them, you have done something beautiful.
Okay, this question is for the seniors now. Was there a volunteer here? All right, one more, and then we'll take it to the next question.
I think young people are really shy to start conversations, but if you start them, then we would love to talk to you. So.
Thank you, Lydia. This question came up at campfire, and actually the seniors prepared a very similar question on the way here for the young people. But I'm going to ask the seniors first, because this question came up at the campfire. What qualities do you look for in choosing a future spouse? What qualities would you look for? What qualities did you look for? And just answer the first question. What qualities would you look for? What, if you're advising a young person, which you are doing, what qualities would you advise them to look for in a spouse?
I would look for honesty and also how they treat other people.
Okay. Honesty and how they treat other people.
Spirituality and kindness and gentleness.
Okay. Spirituality, so a life with God, and kindness and gentleness.
I would say respect for the person who you are dating, for yourself if you're dating someone, and just a respect for their moral thoughts and feelings, and consider that.
So respect for thoughts and feelings.
They would have to know the Lord.
They would have to know the Lord. Thank you.
I would look for to a young person, girl or boy, the respect they show to their parents.
Respect for parents. Okay. You must be on the same wavelength after all these years. Anything else? Mr. Rosenboom.
I think the last gentleman that talked here about fools looking to fools, that's what happens when you're young, I guess. But I think what you should look for in your spouse is that they treat you like you're the only person in the world that they love. And that I always said, even after I got married, I did not deserve my wife. And those are the kind of people that are the best, because you don't have an argument with a person that isn't deserving.
Thank you. The question that the seniors had for the young people was very similar. How are you going to choose? How are you going to choose, or how have you chosen your mate? It's a hypothetical or a real life scenario. Thanks, Garrett.
Somebody who can cook.
Somebody who can cook. Any other sage advice? Nicole?
Somebody who can tell you at the very beginning or when you start dating that they love God.
Someone who at the very beginning of dating will tell you that they love God. Anything else?
One of the most important things for me is how they treat their family.
How they treat their family. Anyone else? Well, when I was looking for a wife, I had my eyes set on my wife. But what clinched the deal is that I started going to her church, and she's one of the only people that actually talked to me. I made the first move. But coming to a strange church as a stranger, she was one of the only ones that talked to me. So that sealed the deal. She was friendly, and she just stood out from the crowd, literally. So, the next question for seniors is this. I pulled my young men in my cabin last night saying, what question would you ask a senior? And they said, name one historical event, major historical event that you went through and the lessons that you learned from it. So whether it's personal or world history. One event that you lived through. Name one historical event that you lived through, either personally or on the stage of world history, and the lessons you learned from it.
I remember a very tearful event when my uncle was going to go land at D-Day. And so we all met in the family, and we all prayed for him before he left. And so that made a big impression on me, to see his wife and his mother and his aunts and uncles, and I was a little girl, all praying and for this young man who was going to land. He actually did land, and he survived Normandy Beach.
All right.
That was my uncle, Hugo van der Waal. Some of you maybe remember him.
That's a World War II story. Anything else? Mrs. Van Kempen.
I have a World War II story.
Okay.
When the World War II started,
yep.
I was 18 years old, but then we married between time, and I had German soldiers in the house and everything. And my husband talked to those German soldiers, and I think we sometimes had a blessing with it about the Lord and everything.
Mm.
But it was a very hard time, and yeah, we didn't have even our own house in it.
Right.
But because my husband wasn't a man that could talk to everybody, and he did, and I think we had blessings even with the German soldiers in the house.
Mm. Thank you.
I don't know what to say. It is an old story, but
I think the principle is this: that you loved your enemies,
yeah,
right? And you brought them the gospel, even though they took over your home. Anything else? How much time? You could give them your book. That's a story in itself. It should be.
I just like to...
Maybe the connection.
I started the prison ministry when I was old, like 75 years old. And that is one of the greatest things I've ever done. I recommend you start doing some of these things before you get old. But I just tell you a little story about one of the gentlemen I visited in prison. I helped, my goal is to help families of prisoners, and then I visit the prisoners. So I visited this man in Jackson, and he used to lift 500 pounds in the weightlifting contests, and now he has Lou Gehrig's disease. And he has lost all feeling below his neck. He only has a head left as far as quality of life. And when I went to go to visit him, I really looked up against it, but it was the best visit I ever had. And because I could tell him that his ministry in the prisons from other prisoners was such that he had touched many lives. and that even ministers would be really blessed to have all these people that he has touched in his life. And still he couldn't do anything now. And so after that visit, I could tell you a whole story about the visit, which is very touching. But when I got home, I told my wife that was just like a lot of the young people, and we ourselves also went to Mexico. And when you come home, you feel like you have your bedroom is a palace, right? And now I felt that it was really the blessing that God gives you health when you're older. And so I was so thankful for my health, because here I wanted to hug this man, but how do you hug a head? And but I did, and it was a very touching thing. Thank you.
Thank you.
One of the young men really emphasized last night, I really, really want to hear from the seniors on this question. So, life stories, Mr. Camp.
During World War II, I was between 8 and 12 years old, and it really was a sad, hard time. There wasn't a family who had someone in the service, or more than one of the boys in the service. Some of them did not return, and just about every prayer you heard, church or home or wherever, the servicemen remembered. There were a lot of empty places of young men amongst us. And it, as a preteen, it was quite a burden.
Thank you. I think a lesson for the young people here is that what you have in front of you in many respects is a generation, or just before that generation, are men and women who gave their lives so that you enjoy the freedoms you enjoy today. So that's another reason to be thankful for them. Is there anything else? I know there's a lot of life history here, and we don't have time for it all tonight or this afternoon, but there's something burning, Mr. Denherter? Well,
just a time in my life when I was in the service, I was with the paratroops, and we were scheduled to make a jump in April. And for some reason, I wasn't on a plane at that day, and there was about five deaths when they landed because the winds were so great. So the Lord spared my life, and that's just a personal thing.
Thank you. If you're a military history buff, here's someone to talk to. One more.
I lived through World War II. I was 6 years old when it began, and as I got just a little bit older, even though I was very young, I realized that people were more serious about religion, and that church services were very well attended, much more than in good times. So my advice would be, be always diligent in attending the worship services. Don't wait till bad times, in serious times. And the times are bad right now.
Thank you.
Take advantage of when you are feeling good, and also when you're healthy, to worship the Lord and
right.
Sing His praises.
Use your youthful energy to serve the Lord. And of course, young people, the seniors are interested in what you're doing this week. And so the question is this: what is your most enjoyable subject at camp so far? What is your most enjoyable subject at camp so far? Or topic or workshop? No, this camp. All right, here's one.
I don't think it's so much like a certain topic because they're all really good this year. I think it's more being able to talk to anybody, even random friends that you met this week, about almost anything. And that's a really great experience.
Thank you. So talking with friends about anything.
I found out that there are many more ways to pray than you originally thought there would be. You can take any part of scripture or any song and you can turn it into a prayer, and I found that really interesting, and I can apply that to my life.
Thank you. So, there are many more different ways to pray than he was aware of. You can take a piece of scripture, you can take a song, and turn it into a prayer to God. Anything else? Angus.
Well, my favorite was probably, as he said, Reverend Ejiofor's workshop on prayer. I just want to say that when we hear you guys pray at prayer meetings and you guys stand up, it's a real blessing to hear that close relationship you guys have with God and Christ. It's a blessing just to sit and listen to it. So I just wanted to say there. So.
Thank you, Angus.
My favorite topic was how do we examine our spiritual life? And Pastor Fope Vondersweig gave that one. And it's just was a wonderful thing to discuss it in our cabin the night after, yesterday night, just to discuss what, when we examine our spiritual walk and just what we have in Jesus Christ, we have so much to have the scriptures in our hand, and we just look at many countries that don't have that, and just to be able to examine ourselves and to buy the word of God and to see what we have in Jesus Christ has been a wonderful thing.
Anything else from the young people? Surely you've enjoyed something at camp. All right.
I really enjoyed the topic on technology and everything. It really applied to life, and we can really see how much time we do waste in checking our phones and everything. But then it was good to see also the good things that we have with technology, so we can use it for biblical things and stuff like that.
Thank you.
Also, the devotions at night, we get to discuss further the topics that we have learned throughout the day. We can listen to more wisdom that we can learn.
Thank you. So in the cabins each night, there are questions that the chaperones go over, all the topics and workshops that the young people went through during the day. So it's just a follow-up and reinforcement. Go ahead.
I think some of the great things, in general, we've learned as young people is that we can actually make a big difference in our culture and all the issues out there that face us. It's quite different than probably a lot of you have seen in your lifetime, but that with God's help, we can do that.
Okay. So learning how to make a difference in the culture in which we live as Christian young people with God's help. That was, I think, from one of the workshops, talking about your faith in the public square, about what you believe against various issues. Here's a question for the seniors. Is one of you or several of you willing to share your conversion story? Is one of you willing to share your conversion story? Mrs. Van Kempen.
I really can tell when it started. I think it went through my young life and all the time. But when my husband passed away, I was so lost. Then I was reading Isaiah 54, and the Lord promised me that, yeah, for a little while he punished me, but that he would be my father now, and I had to depend on him. And I think I have a blessed life all the time. I can ask, and you know, sometimes you think the Lord don't answer. But I had a minister finish with me, and he said, "Do you have a Bible?" I said, "Yeah, I have a Bible, of course." He says, "Well, open it up." And I opened it up, and he says, "Isn't the Lord speaking to you now?" I said, "Yeah, thank you for the advice." And I'm very blessed with that lately. If I open the Bible, I think the Lord answers all the time. I'm old. I forget a lot of things, but the Lord is good to me.
This is my mother. I grew up in a very godly home with a dad that was on his knees by our bed from the day we were born to almost the day he died. And yet I never appreciated the love and the prayers that he gave. You try to run away from it, and yet God follows you no matter where you go. And he laid me low when I was 51 years old, after all the godly teaching of my father and mother. And yet the mercy that God forgives. And then we have to reach out to these young people and try to bring them into our home, even as older people, and show them that even though we are older, we also have a heart of that is young in mind, maybe not in body, but in mind. And we can teach these children so much with the love and the care and doing things with them and then showing them how much God has had mercy on our soul. And they can also learn from us as love that we give them. You know, I love all these young people, and they all have a soul for eternity. But remember what your mother and father taught you when you were younger. Never let it go. Read the Bible. Pray. Ask God for mercy. He will grant it. My dad always said that God cannot lie. He will answer your prayers.
Anyone else? Mr. Fossey? Yeah, you're good. Yep, just hold it right here.
I would say that it probably was very important to my conversion, but it impacted my life. When I was 15 or 16 years old, I heard a sermon by a Reverend Beaton who was from Scotland, and that's about 85-80 years ago, and his text was, "How can you neglect so great salvation?" And it should impact you too, because it is a great question. How can you neglect it? Because everything is revolved about it and around it. How can you neglect so great a salvation?
Thank you. Anyone else?
I have no date. I have no sermon that I could say that was the time and the hour. But looking at from my early days, I never did have an easy life. And I can't pinpoint a time, an exact year, exact time when the one that took place was like line upon line, here a little and there a little. And the Bible says, finally, by the fruits ye shall know them.
Thank you. Someone else?
I was brought up in a godly home, church every Sunday three times. I can't give no special time, but I always was impressed with God's word. But I lived a very rebellious life at the beginning, partying and drinking till I met my wife, and then I thought I was somebody, yeah. But even when we had house visitation, we had a TV, and I used to hide it. That's being hypocritical. But the time came, and the Lord really spoke. When our son had a terrible accident, but we almost lost him. He was in a coma for 4 months, and then the Lord really spoke to us, and I just threw the TV out and started serving the Lord more. And Dr. Beakey can testify to it too, because he was there when he visited him, and to this day he's still with us. I thank the Lord.
Anybody else? Lots of similarities, but also many differences, right? So we see that the Lord works in many varied and different ways in the lives of people. I think that's a huge encouragement for young people to hear how the Lord works in different ways. This question is a two-part question. Some of you are already in college, and I think we can include those in working, even working during the summer, working in different places. So some of you are already in college or working. How has college studies or work affected your faith? And then the second part of that question is, how can your church family be of more help to you during this challenging time in your life? That's a beautiful question. I hope some of you answer that. How has college study or work affected your faith? And how can your church family help you? What I'm reading between the lines here is really an offer of help for young people.
I think when you get into the secular environment of education or work, there's basically two things that can happen. One is you pull closer to Christ and your church and your family, or you go the other way. You know, it's harder because you're not working or studying with people who are brought up in the church. So you either fall in with them, or or you just pull closer to your family and ask God to help you stay in the faith. So really a choice has to be made, which way you're going to go, basically. There's no kind of neutral ground about it, I don't think.
Thanks, Angus.
I want to answer the second question, and I think my advice to you guys is to keep on doing what you're doing. You're all very supportive, especially my grandma, of asking what's going on in your life and how you can help, and being genuinely excited about what's happening, and it's really great to hear. So, thank you.
Showing interest in the lives of our young people, asking what's going on, it's one way that you can help out. Anyone else?
One thing, I do finished carpentry, and I'm away from home, and I walk around a lot of. I'm blessed to have walk with my brothers who are Christians, but I also walk around a lot of people who are not. And just that influence on my Christian faith, it can strengthen it, but it can also wear off on me. So I have to. It's a wonderful thing when you have a church family and you go to church on the Sunday and you hear a sermon, but then you go out and spend 6 days in the rock forest, just hearing all the language that people use and just that influence. But it's a blessing to have. To be a light in the rock forest, and just to our example that we give and how we do things, it's strengthening to be out there and living the faith, and to see those things working out. And that's my prayer for myself, that I continue to do that, work it out in my faith in my workplace, because it is a God thing. Thank you.
I think going to a secular school and working has made me realize like how much of a witness we have to be to those around us, because they're going to be watching your every move. And then what you could do for us is just pray for us.
Thank you.
Yeah, following on from what Lydia said, I'm taking a lot of science classes, and I have taken a lot of science classes, and there aren't many Christians, especially in biology, physics. The ones that are really stand out. And I think it's really important to be open about your faith in public. Make sure your students or people who are in your life know that you're a follower of Christ. Because there are two good physics professors in Grand Valley, and they're very, very evident from day one. They followed the Lord and went to church every Sunday. And I think it's in this day and age, a lot of people in the sciences and a lot of physics professors and a lot of college professors try to hide it, and that encourages students to hide it. If your professor is hiding being a Christian, of course, you know, why would you be proud of it, you know?
Thank you, Alex.
I'm not a young person, but I want to speak on behalf of the young people. When we were in Burgessville, there was an old lady, and her name was Aunt Patty, and she lived till she was 99 or 100 years old. And sometimes you don't know, you feel like you're not worth very much or you can't do very much anymore. But she used to take the church phone book, and I realized, you know, we had 500 members versus how many we have here. And she would go through the church phone book every single week and pray for all the children in the church by name. And so you think maybe you can't do much, but that's huge for the children. And the children knew it as well. That was very valuable.
Thanks for sharing that, Donna. Well, we've about 7 minutes left. There were a lot of questions from the seniors about career choice. There's another good question about modesty. But the young people also had questions about career choices. So one of them was, how did you choose your career? What did you look for when you went into your specific career? How did you get there? maybe what changed throughout the years, if anything changed.
I just want to encourage any young person who's interested in teaching, because I really felt I was called by God for this job, and it has given me so much satisfaction over the years. And so often when I go out and about, someone will come up to me and say, "You are my teacher in third grade or fourth grade." And a short time ago, I went to a funeral home, and I hadn't seen one of my students for 50 years. He was in one of my very early classes. I never thought he would even know who I was. And here he was standing there, and he looked at me and he said, "You're my teacher." And he threw his arms around me. And I just felt like breaking down and crying, because I think that many of them have told me that God has blessed something that I said to them years ago that I never thought anything of. So I certainly want to encourage anyone who feels God has called them into the teaching field.
When I was in the service, I was a meteorologist, and when I came to Grand Rapids, we were looking for a place to work. And our two goals were to be near our church family, and also the family itself was very important. And so when I went to go for a job, and the jobs weren't available at that time, but when I went to the airport to get a meteorologist job, then they said I had to move to Minnesota, Minneapolis probably first, and that I'd have to work on Sundays. And we discussed it, and we said, no, we didn't. And what happened is, actually, the Lord led the way that I became business by into business, and that I had a lot of help getting there also. But today, I can say that we have a family-run business now with six children, and they all work there, and a lot of my grandchildren also have had jobs there. And what that's done is that all my grandchildren, except one, and there's 30-some, and they're all living close by because they all want to be by their job, live by their job. Wonderful, isn't it? At our old age, we never expected that. We never looked for anything like that. But we had a good job as a meteorologist and really didn't... I wound up to be a meat cutter and then in business. And look at what happened, you know. It's all God's blessing.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mrs. Fentelman.
This isn't about myself, but this is more advice to the younger people. You all have gifts, and just pray to the Lord that He will use those gifts to His honor and glory. And it can be in just simple little things, or it can be in great things. But if it's to the Lord's glory, it's everything.
Thank you. Use the gifts that God has given you. You can always ask someone who's close to you, if you don't see those gifts yourself, what those gifts are, right? Anyone else? There was a question from the seniors regarding careers. Several questions, in fact. They're interested in your future. So some of the questions are, what do you want to be when you're done school? What do you want to be when you're done school? So there's options here. So hopefully we see some volunteers. What do you want to be when you're done school? Is being near church and family important to you in selecting a career? What motivates you to be a doctor, a nurse, or missionary? Or is there anything that motivates you to do that? Have you decided what career you will pursue? What are your interests? What do you want to do when you get out of school? What is your main motivation in choosing a job or career? What are your feelings towards the providence of God? Oh, that's a separate question. So what is your main motivation in choosing a job or career? So those are all questions that center around the idea of choosing a career. So this is for the young people. What motivates you? What do you want to be? What do you want to do?
For my career choice, I want to be a paramedic because I enjoy helping out people when they're struggling. So, yeah.
That's good. You want to be a paramedic to help people when they're dealing with trauma, or when they're sick, when they're in need. There was another question in here about serving others. I think that answer takes care of that as well. Anyone else? I think this question show, these questions show an interest in your lives, so here's an opportunity.
In the fall, I hope to go to school to become a nurse, and I did that because I want to help people, but I also took, I went to the hospital for some courses, and I worked on a floor with all elderly, and I really enjoyed it because it surprised me, like, all their stories and stuff, and how they got in there. It was really cool. I loved it.
Thank you. So, anyone else?
I would like to become a special eds teacher because I love to help people, and especially when it comes to the special needs.
Thank you.
I would also love to become a nurse, hopefully, and I also have a great desire to go work in the mission field, so I know that if I was a nurse, I would have the skills in that area to help people out medically and also spiritually.
Thank you.
Sorry. I want to be able to help. I want to be able to become a lawyer or a politician to help and to change things that have, like abortion, or to fight for marriage, what marriage should be, and what change abortion, make sure that it's proved wrong.
Thank you.
I want to become a doctor because I love helping people out and becoming friends with new people, and I might even want to be a missionary doctor because I love seeing different people from different countries and seeing how they still have a relationship with Jesus, and it really unifies you with them.
All right, one more.
I kind of want to go into something with childcare so that I can, like, teach the kids more about God, because there's some people, some children in the world that they don't know about God, but because they were never, like, taught it when they were growing up, and so I would like to teach them when they're young so they can be privileged to learn about God when they're younger.
I would like to be a missionary nurse or teacher, because I love traveling, and I think it would be awesome to share the gospel at the same time.
All right, I think our time is up now. But the conversation certainly doesn't have to end right here. I don't know what time the seniors are going back. What time? At about 4 o'clock. So if you're interested, I'm not sure what the seniors are going to do after this. Would you like to sing more? There's some young people, I'm sure, that want to go outside. So what we're going to do now is we're going to close with one psalter and pray. And then if the seniors would like to sing, and the young people who would like to sing, remain here. And also there will be opportunity for ice cream, I believe, for the seniors. You'll be getting a coupon to get a free ice cream back down at the cafeteria. So we can sing for 20, 30 minutes, whatever, after this. So we'll sing.